you helped your neighbor and you were not assigned by me. That's what we're after. You see? A way of life. If you helped a neighbor, if you helped someone in our community, it would be a good idea if maybe 2 or 3 months from now, you would call that person, find out how they're doing, and see if you can love on them a little bit more. That would be a good way to be the church in the community. And so I want to encourage you. There are a couple more projects that are still going. Scott has a project, and he could use this week. He's going to do it this week. Next week. He could use a helper or two on that project. It's a pretty big project, so I really don't want him going by himself. So if you can help Scott, let him know that you can help him. This Saturday, Charles comes to the second service. He wants to help us clean up Church Park again. So anybody who wants to, meet at 9 o'clock at Church Park. Bring your rake and your trash bags, and we're going to rake up some leaves and get rid of some sticks and stuff like that. Ezekiel's little party is next Sunday, so if you want to make cookies, you need to bring them to church with you next week. No nuts in the cookies. That's all they ask, okay? Everybody else, just whatever you got, I'll eat them all. So here we go. All right, so I wanted to share with you, you know, it's good to laugh together as a family, so I'm going to share with you a pretty funny story as we get ready to share this together. So Ezekiel and Ashley and Ryan were going to be gone for a while this weekend, and so I asked Brenda. I said, Brenda, you know, we're going to be home alone. What would you like for dinner? One, I'll make you a really nice dinner. And so she said, I want liver and onions. It's an acquired taste, I will admit. Not everybody likes liver and onions, okay? But it's one of Brenda's favorites. And I do a pretty good job cooking it, even though in the beginning, not so much. So I went to Target on Saturday morning to get my liver for my liver and onions. And I go into Target, and usually it's in the frozen section. So I go up and down the frozen aisle, up and down, looking for liver. No liver. So there's a little guy about this big, and by his accent, I could tell he's either Hispanic or from Brazil or something. And I said to him, do you have any liver? And he gets on his phone, and he starts going through his inventory. And he says, come with me. So I followed him, and he took me to the dog food. I kid you not. Yep. That's a real Ernie story right there. There you go. I did not. I went to a couple more stores. That's not a very popular item, apparently. All right. So friends, we're in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke together, and I want to share with you that at the end of the message today, I'm going to give you an invitation to respond. In a very real and kind of physical way. I want you to engage in the gospel this morning. This whole sequence of things that we're learning, we've been calling it like discipleship boot camp. The most important things that Jesus wants us to know and to learn. And there's a connection here that I want to help you to see before I read the text for this morning. So our text is going to be actually Luke 12, 35 through 48. And it's the story of Jesus, and he tells a parable. He says something to the disciples, and then he tells them a parable to explain what he just told them. And I want to go back, and I want to connect three things. And what I'm going to do this morning is I'm going to read a little bit, and then I'm going to talk a little bit, and then I'm read a little bit. You know how I do that sometimes, and talk a little bit. I want to help us to really get a sense for what's going on here. So this whole passage begins with all the way back to the 11th chapter, where Jesus has set up, and I know it's hard for us to believe that he would do this, but he's intentionally taking his disciples into the homes and the territory and the minds of people who are not God people. They're the opposite of that. They're self-oriented. They're not other-oriented. They're the opposite of what Jesus wants the disciples to become. And you would think he would only want them to be influenced by the people who are like what he wants them to be. But he has something he needs them to know and something he needs us to know. So the first house he goes to is he's invited, and he goes into a Pharisee's house. And the Pharisee is, even though he's a religious leader and a political leader in Israel, he's not a God person. He's a me person. And so in that venue, he sets up, Jesus sets up a confrontation. And that confrontation is about him, whether or not he's going to wash his hands. Now, he knew the rules, so he intentionally didn't wash his hands. He sets it up. And when he gets reprimanded by this man, he goes off on him. And in not a very subtle way. It's language that he doesn't usually use. And so he goes off on this guy, and then there's another person in the room, a lawyer, and he says, "You're hurting our feelings," and he goes off on that guy. And then he says something, and this is how I want you to connect. The next person he meets is a rich man or a man who's interested in property and says, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me, and he goes off on that guy. And it just seems like this is not the soft little cuddly lamb that we would all want Jesus to be. And it's not. He needs disciples to understand something. He needs us to understand the urgency of the situation and how important what they're learning is. And so there's a connection that Jesus makes that I thought I would share with you. In the first verse of the 12th chapter, he says, "Be on your guard." Then, just a little further along, he says, "Watch out." And in our verse today, he says, "Get dressed." And those things are connected. In fact, they all kind of go together. It's like this. The Pharisees represents a certain way of thinking that is a very self-oriented way of thinking. And he's a leader of the time. And Jesus says to his disciples, be on your guard against this kind of thinking. Don't be a self-thinker. Don't be just interested in your own selfish ambition. Then a man who's interested in dividing the property, Jesus says, you need to watch out for this kind of thinking. Don't be a person who spends your life accumulating assets. Because in the end, that's not what really is all about. Your life is all about. Your life is not all about whether or not you're happy or whether or not you can accumulate enough assets to not be anxious. That's not how it works. In fact, the more you're like these people, the more worried you're going to be. He says, watch out against that kind of attitude in your life. Be careful about it. And then he says, in our text for today, he says, be dressed. So here's what I would like for you to do. I would like for you to turn to someone who's close to you and say, be on guard. Tell them. Be on guard. All right, now you ready? Now tell them, watch out. Watch out. All right, you ready? Now tell them, get some clothes on. Let's go. Get some clothes on. Right? Is that what he's saying? It says right here, get dressed. Be ready for service. Keep your lamps burning. Well, I mean, when was the last time you told somebody to get dressed? Brenda told me this morning, Ernie, it's time to get dressed. I don't want to go. It's time to get dressed.
You're the pastor, you got to go.
All right, so is Jesus telling the disciples to get their trousers on? No, of course not. What's he telling them? What's he telling them? Get ready. Get dressed. He said, when he says, watch out, and when he says, be on your guard, and when he says, get dressed, the way I know those three things are linked is they are the same verb tense. In other words, it's intentional. He says, watch out every day. He says, be on your guard every day. He says, get up and get dressed every day. And he doesn't mean your clothes. He means spiritual battles are ahead of you. Get yourself ready for the fight that is ahead of you. Get dressed. Be dressed and be ready every day. Not just once, but every day. Why? Because evil is right there next to you, and its desire is to get you off track and to convince you that your life is about yourself and your life is not fair and you're here to gain more things and the guy with the most toys wins. That's what evil would try to convince you of, that it's more important in the argument you have with people you love that you're right than it is that you're in love. That it's just, evil would convince you that you're more important. And so you have to fight this. And so he's sharing with the disciples how to fight this battle. He's already told them, learn to listen to the God who's in you. Jesus is going to die on the cross so that he can put his Holy Spirit inside of someone like me, so that I can listen to him instead of listening to everyone else. I need to learn to listen to him. If I can train myself to listen to him and to believe that other people are important in my life, then I will begin to live a life that is a life not filled with worry. This is what he's saying, and he's saying it over and over again. So he says, be dressed and ready for service. Keep your lamps burning. And again, keep your lamps burning. It's the same verb tense. Every day in the Middle East, when they had a lamp, they had an oil lamp. And it's not like a Coleman lamp that, you know, you pump it up and you light it and it stays lit until the propane runs. It's not like that. These lamps, you have to trim them. You cannot fall asleep or they go out. And it only takes like half an hour, and the lamp's out. So every 20, 30 minutes, you're up making sure that the lamp is not falling down into the oil and being snuffed out. You're pulling it up. You're trimming it. You're pulling it up, getting it in. You got to pay attention. That's how important what he's teaching to these disciples is. You have to pay attention all the time because evil would try to derail you at every single step of the way. And just because you've been in church a long time, that doesn't mean Satan's not still after you. This is common to all of us. He says, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Who's he talking to? Literally, who's he talking to? A great crowd has gathered. People have pressed in, and they're pressing in on Jesus and the disciples. And so he's just talking to whoever will listen. Whoever's going to listen. That's the audience. The seed is broadcast. Anybody can hear the words. But not everybody is going to listen. Why? because some are too self-absorbed to listen to what he's saying. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at table, and will come and wait on them. Who's the master in this story? Who do you think the master is? Whether you want to know this or not, Jesus is the master. And he is the master of your soul. That means if he's the master, you're the servant. And what he wants is more important than what you want. It's not complicated. And so the master says these words. Then the master is going to do something. This is a new leadership model. We think it's new to the 21st century. Nah, goes way back. New leadership model. What does the master do when he finds a loyal servant? The master gets dressed and serves the servant. The master serves the servant. This is how you begin to live a life of peace. You know that the master cares for you, and he will serve you and bring to you exactly what you need. So the master serves the servant. We'll wait on him. Verse 38. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. In other words, what would normally be an I'm not ready time. You know? Or perhaps a better way to describe it might be an oops time. Whoops. I probably should have invoked the name of Jesus before I said that kind of thing. It would be better for us. But understand this. There's a warning. There's a warning now. Who's he talking to? Anybody who will listen. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would have not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. What did Jesus just tell anybody who's willing to listen? What did he just tell him? I'm coming back. The master has just said, I'm coming back. And what's he coming back for? He's coming back to see who's listening. That's what he's coming back for. It's pretty simple. He's coming back to see who's trimming the lamp, who's letting the lamp burn, who's letting the light shine. He's coming back. See, and there's no pretending with this master, because everything is laid open and bare before the eyes of him to whom I must give an account. There's no, well, that's not what I meant. I didn't intend that. I didn't really say that. Oh, yes, you did. Because he knows. And so here's the warning. He's coming back. And he's coming back to get those who are listening. What's the evidence that you're listening? Your life is not your own. You were bought with a price. You know that other people are important. You live a humble life. You understand what that means. You live a life in the Spirit. You live a life that is of peace. You live a life that is filled with goodness and kindness in all that you think and say and do. That's the evidence that you're listening. In other words, if you're listening, the master is going to give you exactly what you need. You ask the master for an opportunity to be good to a neighbor. Guess what? He will reward that because you asked for the right thing. And so now, not red letters. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? It's like this. Peter, and we all love Peter. Peter's like, are you talking to me? This is Peter. Peter's like, wait, what? Are you talking to me? And when someone says that to me, like after a sermon, people go, do you know something about me? And I was like, oh, I know everything. I don't know anything. All right? But Peter's like, you talking to me? You know what? What does that reveal about Peter? Tell me what you think that, what does that reveal about him? He's listening. He doesn't necessarily want to hear what he's hearing, but he's like, oh, wait a minute. Well, wait, I think I understand this. Oh, are you talking to me? And listen to how Jesus explains this. He explains to Peter. This, Jesus answers Peter's question. He doesn't always answer Peter's questions, but this time he does. But he doesn't put his arm around Peter and say, of course I'm talking to you, Peter. What does he do? He answers us the same way. He answers in such a way that you have to still be listening. You have to still be paying attention to get the answer. Is God talking to you? Well, you gotta listen if you really want the answer. And so Peter says, is this for me? Is this for us? And Jesus says, he tells him a parable. He says, the Lord answered, this is verse 42. Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It's a parable, but who's Jesus talking about? Who is the wise manager? Who's the wise manager that the master puts in charge to distribute the food to those who are in need? Who's he talking to? Anybody who will listen. Who's listening? Peter. Who's going to be in charge of the church? Peter. Who's the wise manager? It better be Peter. Right? And it better be you. You better be listening. Because you're responsible for your neighbors. You better be listening. This is about us. It's about the church. And Jesus tells the church, I'm coming back. And I hope you were listening. I hope you were paying attention. And you didn't get preoccupied with pretty buildings and bowling alleys. I hope you didn't lose track of what you're supposed to be doing. Because your life is not about you. Are you listening? Jesus warns him. Listen to how he says this to Peter. A little more poignant. You have to be with Peter. A little more poignant. It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth. He will put him in charge of all of his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time coming. And then he begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants and to eat and drink and get drunk. He makes his life about himself. Suppose the master finds that you have made your life about yourself. What do you do? I hope you're listening. Suppose the master comes back and he finds out that his church has made it their primary occupation to own land and dominate people. What's he going to do? Well, he tells us. The master of the servant will come on a day he does not expect him, and in an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with unbelievers. That servant, boy, I hope you're ready for this next one. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. The one who knows and does not do will be beaten with many blows. This is Jesus warning Peter to be the church. You understand this? He's telling Peter not to be like these other people who are worried about their land and their position. He's warning Peter. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with a few blows. Ooh. So I'm going to tell you something. It would be better for you if you did not know what I just told you. Did you hear what I just said? If you're not going to listen, you shouldn't have been here today. this is just bad news for you. Warning. Right? From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much will be asked. That is a strong word to Peter from Jesus. That is not a mild, soft word. Jesus is telling Peter, you don't have to live like the rest of the world. You don't have to do that. You can make a choice. And that choice is to become a humble servant and declare Jesus as master and live your life according to what you know he wants you to do. You don't listen to other voices. You don't have other people telling you what to do. Jesus tells you what to do. Now, the warning is, now you know this. So you are responsible for listening. You don't have to listen. You understand that? You don't have to listen to Jesus. You can certainly go and make your life about yourself. Many do. But there are consequences for knowing and not doing. And they are more severe than if you never knew. And so I ask you again, how many of you have loved your neighbor this week? I just thought I'd ask again. You see, it's not enough to know you're supposed to do it. That is insufficient. That is not, in fact, it's dangerous. It's dangerous to your soul to know you're supposed to love your neighbor and not do it. How many of you have loved your God this week? Did you love God? Did you bow to the Master? Did you humble yourself to his will? Did you find a way to serve him this week? Works like this. I don't want to get up. I don't want to get up. And my wife says, you got to get up. It's time to go. It's time to go. It's time to go. You know, it's not about loving your wife. No. Men and women of the world do that. It's not about just giving food to people. Plenty of people do that. What's it about? It's about this. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you actually have a relationship with Jesus? I mean, is it real? Do you actually, like, talk to him? Do you actually, like, listen? Say, all right, what do you think? What do you think about this? What do you think I should do? Do you actually say stuff like, boy, give me a chance today. Give me a chance today to love somebody. Give me a chance. I just want a chance. I just want an opportunity to love somebody today. Do you actually like talk to them like that? Is it a relationship? Or Are you maybe hoping he's not looking? Or maybe he's not watching my life? Or maybe I get a break Monday through Saturday because I go to church on Sunday. It's not what he's talking about. So I'm gonna offer you an opportunity. And I'm gonna ask, if you want to, you can respond. If you have never in your life really made a decision to listen to Jesus and really allowed yourself the chance to be open to the possibility that his Holy Spirit wants to conform you into a new person. If that's never really happened to you, we're going to have an altar call now. And I'm going to invite you. You can come forward. And here's what Jesus promises. He gives us a great promise. If you seek him, you will find him. He promises that. If you want it, he's there. If you want it. If you don't want it, don't pretend. That makes it worse. If you want it, then as an act of humility, this is why I'm going to ask people if you want to come forward. As an act of humility, you stand up so everybody can see. You're a witness to this community. Everyone can see that you want it in your life. I want a relationship with Jesus. Jesus has been telling these disciples the same thing over and over again. It started when he threw his shoulders back in chapter 9. And he said, it is time now. I must go to Jerusalem. And he said, I must go to Jerusalem and die upon the cross for the forgiveness of your sin. I must do this. He didn't come for any other reason other than you. You're the reason he came. You're the reason he died. You're the reason that he's poured out the Holy Spirit so that that Spirit can live and breathe in you. So I invite you as we sing. Are we going to sing or just play? If you want to have a relationship with Jesus, come forward and kneel down here and stay here till I get to say a prayer with you. And I'm going to ask God to be a presence in your life. You're invited to come as the Lord leads you. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. You can see right into us. You know our thoughts. You know our mind. You know our emotions. And we pray, Lord, that you would fulfill your promise in us, that your Holy Spirit would come, and that it would guide us through these days, lead us unto truth, that it would convict us when we're wrong, and inflict upon us a guilt that brings repentance, that we would be renewed in our faith as we walk with you. Father, we pray that we would be a people who would listen to you and above all things, humbly obey. Bless us, Lord, in what we think and in what we say and in what we do. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. If you ever want to talk with anyone about your walk with Christ and what it means to have a relationship with Jesus, just call me. I relish those opportunities to talk with people about growing up in faith. I would love to have a chance to sit down with you. Let's continue our worship with the giving and the receiving of our gifts. If you serve this week, make sure you mark your card that you served. If you're filling out the card for two people and two people served, mark that. We report that to my boss.